We haven't done the beat in quite a while, Harry Tynowitz, but it's here for you. One hour and a half of the beat on a Saturday leading up to White Sox baseball. Good to see you.
Good to see you. Normally it's heard 4 to 7 during the season. We get to do White Sox weekly, and because of the late start tonight, we will get to do an hour and a half of the beat. So the beat is WGN sports show that sometimes, more often than not, will veer off the course of hardcore sports. And as always, we invite your participation. So 312-981-7200. And what you're going to hear early on is a video that is sweeping the country.
This is you right now. Consider yourself incredibly fortunate to be in the car, to be sitting in your bedroom, to be walking down the street, to have your phone, have the WGN app rolling, to have your radio on, whatever it is, because we're about to play you a song sung by yours truly that has never been done to this level, Harry. This is epic. This is as good as it gets right here.
This is something.
Think NBA free agency. Think LeBron. Well, you can tell by the way he just won't talk. He's an LA man. Time to walk. Spotlight bright. Ohio home. An Akron man where he was born. Now it's all right. It's okay. Time for Bron to walk away. And we can try to understand the title's impact on the land. Whether a Laker, even a Clipper, Bron's a calf for life. Calf for life. Feel the city breaking. Calf and shaking. Calf for life. Calf for life. Calf for life. Calf for life. Care for life. But he gone.
Feel free to dance along. It's okay. You can do it.
Well, now I get it, and I get why. Can't win in the land. He better fly. 3 rings of champion on his hand. No Comic Sans. Magic in command. You know, it's all right. It's okay. Beat Golden State another way. And we can try to comprehend the LA Times. LeBron's our man. Whether he's a Laker, even a Clipper, LeBron's a calf for life. Calf for life. Wants to be the GOAT. Finals made show. Calf for life. Calf for life. Ride's almost over. LeBron's getting older. Calf for life. Calf for life. Gonna be a Laker. Flop and faker. Calf for life. But he gone. LeBron's going somewhere. Kawhi may help him. Kawhi help him, yeah. LeBron's going somewhere. Kawhi may help him. Kawhi care for life.
312-981-7200.
Best song you've ever heard, I'm assuming, or something you wish you'll never hear again. 312-981-7200. Harry?
To be fair, you've got to watch the video.
You do have to watch the video. You can find it at my Twitter, at the Carm. You can find it at on my Facebook page. You can also find it at fansided.com.
Great job. Great job, Carm. Funny, topical. I like it. And I think you, in the video, you're dancing. You're doing costume changes. You're making shots. I think you did a bang up job, and I can only imagine that this is just the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah, we did some. We had to do the Bee Gees and Saturday Night Live and Saturday Night Fever rather, and Staying Alive. All of it had to get the garb going.
Mm-hmm.
And you inspired me, Harry. You definitely gave me some guidance here. I wish I would have reached out to you earlier in the process for some of the lyrics you were throwing at me.
I tell you, it's a terrific song. It's very fun, and I'm assuming that they're I have a FanSided app on my phone, and I go to FanSided a lot, and I'm assuming that they're going to want more of that, Carm.
That's a lot of pressure. A lot of pressure to come up with these things, Harry. But is it wrong that I've been walking down the street with it just blaring off my phone? Like I came out of here last night after the White Sox and the Rangers, just walked to my car. Just
like you're holding a blaster?
Yeah. Dan Long, how many times have you watched the video? Don't lie to me.
It was a busy week for me. I've been occupied for the last 2 days.
That's so
can't
rude.
Take my eyes off it.
When you watch the video, do you find your jaw is dropping?
Yeah.
630 is texting in.
Let's check out the text.
312-981-7200. Best song I've heard all day. I could listen to it all night. I mean, we were thinking about putting it on a loop. And just, you know, do that for the next hour and a half. But that probably is not necessarily considered good programming. Apparently, Wendy Snyder, who you got to fill in with this week, Harry.
Big fan of Wendy Snyder.
Who isn't a big fan of Wendy Snyder? She's texting saying, Weird Al better watch his ass. So there's that. And also, by the way, the sentiment of the song.
Yes.
Like, I really, this dude, he grew up in Akron, he's from Cleveland, and I just want him to stay there, and whether he does or he doesn't, who knows what he's going to do, but like, to me, you're a Cav for life, man. That's where you want to be, that's where your heart is, that's where you brought a title, they hadn't had one in 70,000 years, and he brought it to them. I mean, I'm always Michael number one forever and always, but like I got mad respect for LeBron.
Well, it's amazing how far LeBron has come from disdain to admiration in terms of where, you know, I'll use myself as an example. The night of the decision with Jim Gray, I thought the guy was a complete tool.
That was not his best night.
He said that he created that 1 hour special because he wanted to raise money for the Girls and Boys Club.
Well, he did.
Well, he's LBJ. He could reach into his back pocket and hand them the money that he raised that night.
Yeah, but you can't fault him for that. He had it there, raised a couple.
That's not the reason he did it, Carm. He did it because of his massive ego, okay? That is the reason he did it.
Absolutely true. But he did use, in addition to my massive ego, I am going to donate $2 million to the Boys and Girls Club, which was sweet. But yes, of course, he's got a huge ego.
Steve Kerr used to do stuff for the Maryville Academy where he would never, like, you know, call us have his press people send us something. There are people that give a ton of money to charity, and their organizations do great things, and we'll always get info from them. And I'm talking about, you know, like when I was, you know, constantly on the air.
It's such a slippery slope, though, to judge, like, how does he give enough? Does he not give enough? Who does he
give
to?
But I'm just saying, in this particular case, I thought LBJ, who you could argue is one of the greatest players ever. I don't think he's as good as Michael, but I think that night he came off sort of like...
awful?
Yeah, and if it had been Cleveland, if his choice was Cleveland, it would have been cool. And I don't think people are that big of a Jim Gray fan, you know, to start out with. So he has really done a great job of he went back to Cleveland, and, you know, people have admired him. Like you said, the Indians haven't won forever. The Browns, you know, have never won since there was a Super Bowl. So I think it's very topical, and it's funny. And the Bee Gees are a great choice to parody. And in the video, you're wearing some, like, disco wear. And I'm just surprised that it was in your closet. I would have thought they would have to go on to, like, a, a garage sale or something to get those clothes.
I have a lot of things in that closet, Harry. I keep everything. I'm like a pack rat. I also hope that he does, if he is going to leave, I hope he does go to the Lakers. Don't go jump on the Houston Rockets and play with James Harden and Chris Paul. That would be lame. They just went to Game 7 with the Warriors. Like, you're LeBron. Like, go if you want to go build something elsewhere and have your own team, and you want to do it in L.A. and have your production company and make movies and be Hollywood LeBron, okay, I sort of get it. But jumping on a team, even the Sixers with Embiid and Simmons, like that, just to me, that would be lame. You want to go out to L.A. and recruit Paul George, and maybe Kawhi Leonard comes with you in a year, or I don't think the Spurs will trade him there because Greg Popovich would never allow that, or anybody else in their front office for that matter. So, but I think L.A. works for me, at least.
Right. Now, in the last few minutes, word has come down that Paul George is close to doing a 2-year deal with OKC.
Which maybe means that LeBron will end up staying in Cleveland.
Well, I've got several.
Where are you getting that report there, Harry?
I got my sources.
Hold on a second.
Carm, I have several NBA questions for you.
Okay.
I consider the NBA to be my weakest subject and perhaps one of your strongest. So I have several NBA free agency questions. One of them is about our favorite team, the Bulls.
Okay, we can do that next. We want to come on back there and talk a little hoop. I love some hoop.
Yeah.
Hey, make Sunday's your official night to tour the city. Watch Chicago's Best at 10 p.m., and then you can stick around for the latest in shopping, entertainment, and events on See Chicago at 10:30 p.m. on WGN-TV. Cav for life. Thank you for listening. We appreciate it. 720 WGN.
Cav for life.
WGN. Hope you're having a great Saturday. My name is Mark Carmen. He's Harry Tynowitz with you till 7:30. Andy Mazur has White Sox pregame at that point. What do you want to ask me about the NBA?
I got so many different NBA questions, free agency questions to ask you. So LeBron, it looks like the Lakers. Do you believe LeBron is going to end up in the purple and yellow?
No, I actually, I don't know. If I had to bet my $3 that I have left in my wallet, I would go with, I guess he's staying in Cleveland. That seems to be the momentum right now. I mean, it's very hard for him to go to, if Paul George is really going to stay in Oklahoma City,
yes.
Spurs aren't going to trade Kawhi to L.A., unless he really, really, really wants to be in Los Angeles, which he might, then I would assume he stays in Cleveland, although maybe for just one more year, and we're having the same conversation a year from now. That seems to be the momentum, but I think it's one of the two. I don't think he's going to Philadelphia. I don't think he's going to Houston. I think you can narrow it down to those two.
We get a new video, stay in a cab, stay in a cab.
Stay in a cab.
CP3.
Yes.
Where's Chris Paul?
He'll stay in Houston.
He's going to stay in Houston.
Yeah, the Rockets are going
to
pay him.
Now, I am told the lowly Sacramento Kings, who used to have Bill Wennington on their roster, I'm told the lowly Sacramento Kings are about to make a mega offer to Adam Levine. Adam Levine. Yeah, Maroon 5. To Zach Levine. Zach, of course, was the centerpiece in the Jimmy Butler trade. And, I like him. I think he's a hell of a player. He's a small forward. He's a shooting guard. If the Kings make this offer, are the Bulls? The Bulls would probably like match it, but they don't want to give him. They wanted to give him like around $14 million, not around like $26 million. Do you think Zach LaVine ends up going to Sacramento?
Well, this is why the Timberwolves made the trade, because they knew that somebody was going to offer Zach LaVine the money that the Kings, it only takes one, a pair to be ready to offer LaVine. So he's a restricted free agent. The Bulls can match all that. I think it's pretty clear when you listen to the rhetoric coming out of the Bulls, Harry, is that they, Lauri Markkanen. So that's who they're going to build the franchise around. I think there's a lot of discussion going on between John Paxson and Gar Forman and everybody over at Bulls Central as to what they're going to do if and when that offer comes in. I don't know. It's a tough call. I would have a hard time paying him that dough. But on the other side, it's like, well, then what do you got? You're letting him walk. You have Chris Dunn, who, you know, Joe Colley had that piece in the Sun-Times about Dunn's work ethic off the court. I talked to Dunn at Soldier Field this week. There was a charity event out there. I tried to kick a field goal on Soldier Field.
How'd that go for you?
Cody Parkey, the Bears, one of the Bears' new kickers, he was
such a great deal. You know how I feel about kickers. I'll talk Cody Parkey with you right now if you want.
You love the Cody Parkey?
The Cody Parkey move is so big. It's such a fantastic deal. Ryan Pace this is not a good move. This is a great move. Special teams matter so much. And the Bears, in their heyday, always had fantastic special teams. You saw what Devin Hester did here. I'm telling you, Cody Parkey is such an upgrade, such a spectacular signing.
Super nice guy, couldn't teach me how to make an extra point. I missed one wide left, and then I corrected, and it was headed, it was there. But I
you think it was Cody's fault?
I'm blaming Cody, yes. Okay, it was my fault. I understand. Yeah. The point being here is that Dunn is acting like, you know, this is ridiculous. I don't, you know, I'm not listening to the media. Of course I'm working out. But I have talked to some people about this, and apparently Chris Dunn is a guy that doesn't exactly love to be in the gym. So they might have an issue there.
Oh. Now, does he have the other half of this amulet I wear?
Yeah, well, so I really, used to rewinding back to the question, I don't know what the Bulls are going to do with Zach LaVine. If they'll, I assume they'll, at the end of the day they'll pay him, but it's going to be, they're going to have to really bite hard to do it. It's just, they're not, it's not the position they want to be in, but I think they're kind of in a, stuck between a rock and a hard place. We got to take a quick time out and get into news, and we actually can talk for a moment, Harry, about the team on the other side of town, which we... do not talk about on White Sox Weekly.
And okay.
They got a big win today. Big win for the Chicago Cubs. 720 WGN. WGN 636. Hope you're having a great Saturday night. Hope you're staying cool out there. And hope you, hey, if you enjoyed some baseball today out at Wrigley Field, Cubs came back to beat the Minnesota Twins 14-9 as they've won three in a row. But earlier this week, Harry Tynowitz, there was a moment at Guaranteed Rate Field, and our very own Adam Hoge had the honor of throwing out the first pitch, and he walked out there confidently, even if he was feeling less than confident. He towed the rubber, and he fired a strike to Lucas Giolito right over the plate, and he joins us now on 720 WGN. I am extremely jealous of Adam Hoge. I would have greatly wanted this opportunity. Adam Hoge got to do it, but he came through for all of us. Hoge, your ego, are you? Is it intact right now, or is it bigger than it's ever been? Because if I did that, I would walk around like I was God's gift to the world.
You know, the truth is, Carm, it's really just a sense of relief more than anything. Because, and I was talking to Jason Benetti about this before I went out there through the pitch. It really just felt like a lose-lose situation. Because, you know, you throw it over there, you get it to the mitt, you're like, oh, that's what you're supposed to do. If you don't, if you bounce it in there, you airmail it, or anything goes crazy, you know, you have worst-case scenario, it goes crazy viral, and now the video's out there forever. Still bad. It's a situation where your friends, people like you and Harry can, you know, razz me about it for years. It went about as well as it could have, though. And so it's just a huge sense of relief because, I'm not going to lie, there was quite a lot of anxiety going on with it.
I would bet.
Well, I am not surprised.
I am.
What I want to know is how much time did you spend preparing for your first pitch?
Yeah, I'll be 100% honest about this. I tried to get my wife out there in a park like 2 days before I did it. And I threw the baseball around a little bit, but I couldn't really, you know, she's pretty athletic. But once we tried to get to, like, 65 feet, she couldn't quite give me the target that Lucas Giolito gave me, which was just a perfect catching job, I thought. I don't know about you, but I thought it was outstanding. And so the day of the first pitch, I went to the tennis courts by my house with three tennis balls, and I tried to pick like a specific spot in the fence, roughly counted out 65 feet, and I, you know, I don't know, I must have thrown like 20 pitches or something like that. So I practiced a little bit, but I don't think any of it could really prepare me for walking out there in front of all those fans on a mound, which I hadn't thrown off of for probably 15 years or something. And I don't know. I think I blacked out when I got out there, to be honest. It just happened.
I'm also surprised that the way you threw that pitch, the White Sox didn't ask you to throw the first few innings that night.
Right?
You know what? That was the James Shields game. He didn't give up a run. So I'd like to think that I set the tone for the rest of the game.
That's exactly what you did. I talked to Shields about it. He said that he saw what you did, and he was like, all right, I can't let Hoge
you know, upstage me here. But the coolest moment here, Harry, I'm with Adam in the clubhouse the next day, and Ricky Renteria comes by, pats him on the back, says, "Great job, great pitch." I mean, the manager of the Chicago White Sox watched Adam Hoge throw a baseball and then told him the next day that he was awesome. These things don't happen every day. Again, the ego for me would be through the roof. You, that had to be a great moment. Ricky's telling you, "Great job, Adam Hoge. You're the man."
That was pretty cool, not going to lie. I did make it clear to Rick Hahn that if you need the 26th guy for a doubleheader, I'm available. I can come down from the booth and give in any. I mean, Matt Davidson had to pitch last night, so I think I can contribute. You know, Ricky gave me, I asked him for advice, and he just said, "Throw a strike," and I threw a strike. So that is why he is such an outstanding manager. I think he proved it there.
Right.
That you know, he said, "Throw a strike," and I went out there and threw a strike. That's, you know, it's baseball.
Now, I've never thrown the first pitch. I've been offered, but both times I caught instead of throwing the first pitch so a partner could do it. But I have shot the puck at Hawks games, and and I made it. And the advice I would give, I would think, would be the same advice you would give, which would be that it's better to be wide but not miss it short. So throw it as hard as you can and try to be accurate, but do not miss it short. What advice would you give to Mark the night he throws out the first pitch?
I don't think that night's coming. Go ahead.
Well, maybe I'll share Darren Jackson's advice to me, which was, "You stink anyway. Just go up there and throw the ball." So sort of what you just said, Harry, is true, except when I was practicing, I was getting to the... When I would try to throw it too hard is when I got wild. So I didn't try to throw it as hard as I could. I definitely tried to make sure it was a full throw so I didn't short arm it or anything. But I took a little off of it just to make sure it was accurate.
Would you, for real now, would you call this your greatest sports accomplishment? Because and this is a topic, by the way, 312-981-7200. Like, what's the greatest accomplishment you've ever had? Because I feel like mostly we are talking to recreational athletes who have done nothing. So what's like your one moment of fame? Like for me, I think it's probably when I was 11 years old at Old Chicago Stadium and Chris Collins, who now coaches Northwestern, was shooting pregame buckets on one side of the court. The ball came rolling over. I stepped up, launched the three from the right corner, bang, down the well. It went Neil Funk. And I don't think I've ever done anything better than that in my life, really. I mean, come on.
Yeah. That's a great moment. That's, you know what? It probably is, Carm, because the only thing that comes to mind, I definitely fit your what you just said, recreational athlete who's done nothing. Won a championship, I want to say, like 12-year-old baseball, and I played a huge part in that championship. So that's like when I think back to my childhood, that's what I always go back to. But
counts.
This was at Guaranteed Right Field. On the mound, and I mean, I hit Giolito's glove like right where he put it, so I don't know that I could top it, to be honest.
That's a tough one. 12-year-old title versus that, like, what's better?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a real game. There's competition, but all the pressure and Giolito in the moment, that's a debate.
Did Giolito say anything like, "Man, I didn't know you could do that, just throw it right where the catcher's holding the mitt"?
You know what? He said, "Great job." And if you look at the video, he actually looked over to the Sox dugout. Like, wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, in our conversation, well, we don't have to get it, but randomly 2 weeks ago, one of my buddies from high school, I played high school baseball with him throughout the first pitch. And he, too, got up there and threw like a dart right at Giolito's glove. His was actually better than mine because he put even more velocity on it. So that's what he and I were actually talking about as we walked off the mound. And he was like, "Yeah, I remember that guy. He had spin on the ball and everything." So, you know what? We're just representing St. Ignatius Wolfpack baseball and keeping a tradition going.
St. Ignatius, man, it's a very good-looking parking lot you got there.
Adam, we're very proud of you. Speaking for myself, I'm very jealous, but you did a phenomenal job.
How come you didn't ask me my greatest sports accomplishment?
We're getting there, I'm assuming. I think I was there when you had it.
Where were you?
Wait a minute. Harry, you scoring a goal and shoot the puck on those little tiny slots that they give you to get it, that's really impressive.
Well, most impressive thing was that I took a five out and gave it to the guy to move me up like 3 feet before I shot it. So I got a laugh from the crowd. But one time I went 13 for 13 betting baseball on a Sunday.
Okay. Wait, well, hold on a second.
Wait.
Before Adam goes here, yeah, I think you want to hear this too. Did you hit? You hit it against with the three slots against the Sox, where there's three openings in the goal, or was it just an empty goal? What are we talking here?
The first one is you're shooting the puck and you've got three slots.
Yeah.
The second one is one slot.
Yeah.
I hit it in my first shot on the three slots.
Okay.
And I turned around and I did not score going the other way.
Okay, so you did not get it in on the one slot, but you hit it on the three.
Yeah, first shot.
Okay.
I don't know that I would have hit the net.
Well, not with that attitude.
Me neither. I'm shocked that you have that skill level. You're a huge hockey guy, but I wouldn't think that you could have. I'm stunned.
I didn't.
So that's what kind of goes into this too, is like your own personal expectations. Like, I never played hockey in my entire life, so if I went up there and did shoot the puck, like, I would just hope to hit the board somewhere around the net.
Well,
with baseball, like, I played baseball. I don't think it might have ruined my life had I thrown like a two hopper into the plate or overthrown it.
Yep.
But you didn't, dude. It will go down in history. You threw the perfect pitch. Jose Altuve would have swung and missed at that pitch.
There's actually going to be a 30 for 30 coming out. Perfect pitch. It's the Adam Hogue first pitch story.
What if I told you? I spent so many days growing up around the racetrack, and the one time I tried to ride a horse in a race, it didn't go that well.
That's
yes, I kind of know that story. Yes, that did not go well.
But you gave it a try, Harry. You fell off.
Gave it a try. But by the way, great picture in the WGN Father's Day photo library. Great picture of you and James there, Adam.
And I believe you're on a trip with the family right now, Adam, so we'll let you go. But congrats. You're awesome. Good job.
All right. Thanks, guys. I appreciate all the love and support. Carms, you're going to get your turn. And good luck, because I don't know how you can do better than that.
Yeah, there's nowhere to go but down, clearly. All right. Good to hear you, Adam Hogue. We'll see you soon.
See you guys. Have a good show. Right,
thanks. I heard against the Royals on the 15th. You're pitching the seventh inning.
Yeah. Well, I was trying to figure out. I got to talk to upper management on how this went down. How did Hogue get decided? Can we have a coin flip? Why didn't we have a race for it? Something. But he went out there and he represented the station in a first-class manner. At the end of the day, I got to be more mature than that and appreciate what Adam did for all of us here at WGN. 312-981-7200 for real. Your best non-real sports accomplishment. Like, if it's you, it could be like, I don't know, in your co-ed kickball league, you came up with runners at second and third down a run, and you kicked it into right field, and both runners scored, and you won, and the team won the game, and you all went out and had beers. That could be the accomplishment. That would work for me.
Or depending on how old you were, the team went out and had Dairy Queen.
Right. You could be 7 years old, and it was on your little league team, and you needed a base hit, and you got it, and you got carried off the field.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'd like to be inspired. 312-981-7200. Yours came at the United Center, but it was on the basketball.
That was not the 13. Going 13 for 13 betting MLB is much more impressive to me than making a half center ice shot at the Hawks game.
No, no, no. You crashing into John Yurkovich in a plastic ball, that was your greatest accomplishment. I don't care.
I couldn't breathe.
Yeah, that was awesome. 720 WGN. Greatest sports accomplishment, 720 WGN, the beat.
I wish you guys could have been here during the commercial break. Carm just gave an inspirational speech to the crew getting ready to cover the Sox-Rangers game. They'll have it all for you tonight.
I did?
Yeah, it was great, the way you were talking with those guys, going over strategy.
Yeah, no, they're all inspired. I can see it right now. So, Harry, your greatest accomplishment was when you veered off the racing path in a plastic ball where everybody could see you, and you crashed into your former radio partner.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah, I'm sure you did.
Yes, at the Bulls game.
Yes.
We were in those plastic balls, and I thought the race was up and back, and it was up and back twice.
Yes, and you were being lapped, and so you veered off.
My only chance to win.
You tried to crack into him, and he saw you coming and was like, are you kidding, and accelerated and knocked you into next week. But it was fantastic. I really appreciate it. Mm-hmm. It was at that moment in time, like, if someday I could sit in a radio studio with Harry Tynowitz,
yes,
my life would be moderately complete.
Please.
So thank you for that.
Yeah.
Do you have any other sports accomplishments you'd like to name before we bring you in? 312-981-7200. Adam Hoge, if you're just joining us, threw out the first pitch at the White Sox game this week, and he threw a perfect strike. So that's what we're looking for. It can be on a little league field. It could be on the soccer. It doesn't have to be.
There was this gymnast in Cleveland.
Okay, let's move along from that. David in Naperville, welcome to 720 WGN. What's up, David?
Hey, what's going on?
What do you got, David?
Yeah, when I was 11 years old on my Little League baseball team, I had 11 RBIs in one game.
What?
Basically, yeah, we were creaming this team. Every time I came up, I was like the 3 or 4 hitter in the lineup. Every time I came up, I had multiple guys on, and I just had a great game, man. A grand slam, couple doubles, and my dad was keeping score, and he told me I had 11 RBIs that day.
That's awesome. Do you still have that scorecard somewhere?
I doubt it, but you know, Al Bundy's got 4 touchdowns in one game and I got 11 RBIs.
Did you get drafted, David? Did you go on to at least play high school baseball?
I did not. My brother was drafted by the Baltimore Orioles.
Wow.
but I did not go on to play ball. I went on to be a musician for a while, but
very cool. Is your brother Manny Machado?
He is not Manny Machado.
Did your brother, who got drafted, ever have 11 RBIs in one game?
He did not.
That's what I'm talking about.
Is your brother a guitarist?
He is not a guitarist either.
All right. David, congratulations. Tremendous accomplishment. We're all reliving it right now on 720 WGN. It was a beautiful day for you.
Thanks, guys. Peace.
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 That's what I like here. I can also remember at Camp Kawamba, Harry.
Yes.
It was an intense soccer game on a Tuesday afternoon. It was a tie game going into overtime, and we went to a shootout. So everybody who scored in the soccer game got to shoot in the shootout, 5-5. And the goalie at the end of the game would be the goalie in the shootout. Well, you would rotate back then, right?
Uh-huh.
So I was the goalie at the end of the game. So I got to be the goalie in the shootout. And I had scored earlier in the game, so I got to shoot in the shootout and be the goalie. I stopped the last guy, and then I came up. If I shot it in, that was the game winner. I made the shot. We won. Camp Kawamba, 9 years old, victory. That might be my greatest.
That's awesome. No wonder why the World Cup means so much to you.
Messi's out, man. Argentina lost today. I'm on top of things.
Yes, World Cup conversation in 9 minutes on WGN.
That's true. Hey, Ray, real quick, in McHenry, what do you got? What's your greatest sports accomplishment?
I was a junior at a Hyde Park Academy, and I pretty much ran from left field to right center and made a play.
Well, from left field to right center?
He hit the ball really hard, and I was the deepest kid out there.
And you were like, it's me or nobody. And you got on your horse, Ray.
Yep. Get up. Got on it.
Could you still feel that moment right now in your body?
Oh, yes, I do. I would call fake Ken Griffey after that.
What
was the greatest.
Was it a diving catch?
No, it wasn't. Just stuck my hands out. I was full on sprint.
See? Ray got there in
covered
time,
a lot of ground.
Yep, I was not very far from the foul line and left. Did you not?
Look at the pride. You could feel it in Ray right now.
Awesome, Ray.
Ray, did you ever go on to do anything after that?
I got really good with yo-yos, but that's about it.
could you walk the dog?
Oh, yeah.
See? That's a great segue from making catches in the outfield to walking the dog's yo-yo. Hey, Ray, have a great Saturday.
All right, thank you. You too, guys.
Look at that, Ray McHenry making plays. We are talking World Cup soccer coming up after the 7 o'clock news.
We'll have some fun. Kenny Stern, whose family owned the Chicago Sting, they brought the World Cup to America, to Chicago in 94. Kenny Stern will be joining us shortly to talk World Cup.
720 WGN.
Open wide for some soccer! The Continental Soccer Association is coming to Springfield. It's all here. Fast kicking, low scoring, and ties. You bet.
Exactly right. You never know where we'll go on the beat. It's the World Cup. We respect it. 7:08 on a beautiful Saturday night in Chicago. Hope you're having a great day. Enjoy the heat. Don't be afraid of the heat. Respect it. But it's a beautiful time. Just remember, in December, it's going to be freezing and miserable. This is awesome. Mark Harmon, Harry Tynotes with you till the bottom of the hour, when we'll turn it over to White Sox baseball. Andy Mazur will have your pregame. Yes, the World Cup is I've been watching, Harry. You been watching?
I have been watching certain games.
Okay.
I've got an expert in Vegas who texts me when I need to turn it on, when I need to watch something.
Kenny Stern has been, I don't know how much he's been watching the World Cup, I'm guessing a lot. He is a key figure, certainly his family, a huge figure in soccer in this city. Der Sting, I was actually wearing a Chicago Sting t-shirt yesterday at the Steve Cochran remote out in Lyle, and Pato Marhedek and Karl-Heinz Grunitzka are still near and dear to my heart, Harry Tynowitz. I never went to an outdoor game. I only went indoors at Old Chicago Stadium when they used to draw more than the Bulls for
Typical
Sting.
Typical American.
No, I don't think that's necessarily fair. Kenny, thanks for taking a little time to talk to us some soccer, some World Cup. We appreciate it.
My pleasure, guys. I got a text of two pictures today. One was of you with that Sting t-shirt on, and the other was Ronaldo with his shorts pulled up to his chest.
So Kenny, I know like three famous soccer players, and two of them got eliminated today. Are you surprised?
I'm not all that surprised, and I think it's just. I don't think Portugal or Argentina's been all that good in the tournament, and they got as far as they got, and then they both got beat by better teams who played better today.
So we're talking about Lionel Messi and Ronaldo, and people like to say it's like a magic bird conversation for those who are perhaps not as aware, Messi versus Ronaldo. Messi's a guy who can score, but not quite as well as Ronaldo, but he does more. Ronaldo in the box, Harry, is unbelievable, better than Messi, but Messi's basically better everywhere else. Kenny, who's better, Messi or Ronaldo?
Well, I've always preferred Messi, but I think they're two players that were very fortunate to be watching playing at the same time and in the same generation. And unfortunately, they're so tremendous with their club teams, but when they get to the national level, they're the best players. They're the two best players, but their teams are not the two best teams. And Argentina and Portugal wouldn't even be in the World Cup without these two players. But when they get to this stage, they come up against teams that are much better teams, the 11 guys facing them, and they just can't get it done. They're not superhuman.
All right, now I want to ask you about Mexico, and I want to ask you about England. But first, let's start with this, Kenny. How is it that Poland won a game 1-0, but they did not advance to the group of 16, and the team they beat did because they had fewer yellow cards? What's the deal with that?
Japan actually is the team that made it. Poland was in that group, and they were supposed to win that group, but it came down to the last day, and Japan was 1-0 against Poland, and absolutely the ugliest game of the tournament because Poland was already eliminated. They're winning 1-0. Japan is out of it, but they're going to survive on the fair point system. Is about the fourth tiebreaker, and so you had the end of the game with Japan happy to lose 1-0, Poland happy to win 1-0. So neither team, each team just put the ball behind it, looked like a cartoon from The Simpsons.
Kenny Stern, we're talking soccer here, the World Cup on 720 WGN. And, of course, the World Cup in 2026 coming to North America. There are going to be games in Canada, games in Mexico. Most of the games will be in the U.S. Kenny, What does youth soccer need to do better, in your opinion, between now and 2026 to actually have a team on the field that is going to compete and be in the mix? Because not participating this year is something that nobody wants.
Well, I think as far as the U.S. national team, they got to get certain things addressed, and I'm not so all the money that's come into Major League Soccer, who's done such a tremendous job of growing the interest and growing the sport, but they keep expanding teams And I'm not sure the level of play every time they expand is as strong as it is in other parts of the world. So I'm not sure that outside of these high-pressure qualified for the World Cup games that our American players are playing at the level they need to play at in regular club play. But that is a problem. I don't know how they could possibly get that addressed, because every time Major League Soccer raises the franchise fee, there's always some city willing to pay it.
Yeah, and Hope Solo spoke out. I don't know if you saw this, Kenny, but she basically said that soccer is turning into a rich kid's sport. You can't play youth soccer unless your family's got a ton of dough so they can be on all these teams and it's pay to play. And so you're not going to get perhaps the best athletes on the field because the dollars is such a huge factor. How do we make that better? I mean, does the MLS have to share in making soccer more affordable? I mean, how would that work in your mind?
I think that there is some truth to what she said, but only some truth. It is just the nature of how it's happening. It's not just soccer. Of course, she's speaking about soccer, but there's all the club teams, and it's a matter of commitment. And the U.S., it's problematic that the U.S. has so many sports, and kids grow up wanting to play in so many sports. So, you know, there's a question of how you keep a kid interested. But I think, to answer your question, I guess, directly, I think U.S. soccer needs to address identifying the young players that they think can really, really evolve, and then it's a recruiting process all along the way. And maybe they have to make a commitment very early on. It sounds a little strange, but they have to commit to these young players and make sure that these kids never have an issue of finances getting in the way of them participating in the best clubs, in the best leagues, with the best competition possible.
Hey, Kenny, just like the real sports that Americans watch, the World Cup is using instant replay. They're reviewing plays. How are the referees in this tournament so far?
I absolutely love the new system. It's called the VAR, and they have a referee who's watching. Actually, there's four officials watching in a box away from the stadium, and they quickly get to the head referee with the communication and the headsets to let him know if they think he needs to take a look. And they're very cautious on stopping the game. So they really quickly pinpoint a situation that they think there was a clear and evident error possibly on the field by the game officiating crew, and they're only human beings. And the thing I love most about the system is that the players are slowly becoming aware now that they can't get away with some of the things that they can get away with. In particular, if you look at set pieces and corner kicks, all the grabbing that used to take place, that used to be a part of the game, that was really anti-soccer and it affected the enjoyability for fans or what have you, and now these players are aware. If they grab somebody inside the box, even if the referee's poorly visioned and can't see what happened, there's somebody else in a box looking with eight cameras that's going to be able to take a look and see and stop the game and award a penalty kick, which could be critical to the outcome. So the behavior on the field seems to very slowly be improving, and I think this will only get better.
Okay, now, you mentioned boxes. Do the coaches or do the moms themselves decide which moms are bringing juice boxes and orange slices to which games?
I think, actually, it's the mother and some families it's the father.
Okay.
Supposed to be responsible for that. In this day and age, I have to make sure that if my little one is playing some soccer or whatever, I got to get those juice boxes out, because I know in my house, if I try to blame my wife for not having the juice boxes at the soccer field or whatever, I'm going to be in a little trouble.
Who's the winner, Kenny? Which nation wins it all?
There's three European teams that intrigue me. I think Belgium and France are both terrific, but I don't know if they're able to defend the key moments of the game. As beautiful as they play and as talented as the field players are, but I think they're in the mix. I think England is a real dark horse team. I don't think they're the best, but if the ball falls a little bit for them in the right way, they're awfully good on set pieces. The one South American team that impresses me greatly right now is Uruguay. And I just think they play such phenomenal team defense, and they're not the most exciting team to watch unless, of course, Suarez is running around looking for a play, an opponent to set his teeth into. In general, Uruguay's not a pretty team to watch, but all 11 players, I'm not talking just the defenders, everybody on the field for Uruguay plays phenomenal team defense, and they can't possibly be any fun to play against in this tournament for the opposition.
Uruguay beat Portugal today, 2-1. If you're need an update here, France beat Argentina, and those two will play each other on July the 6th. Tomorrow, it's Spain and Russia at 9 a.m. Central. And then also tomorrow you've got Croatia and Denmark at 1 o'clock.
Luka Modric.
Yes, Kenny. It's awesome to talk to you. I miss the Sting still to this day. Thank you and to your family for providing some great enjoyment for my childhood. It was a great time for soccer in the city.
I appreciate the kind words and thank you guys for having me on and all the interest that you guys continue to generate in the World Cup and in soccer.
Thanks, Kenny. Well, you know, I had a one-nighter with a woman soccer player once. It was terrible. She wouldn't use her hands.
Okay. Thank you, Kenny.
Thanks, guys.
Kenny Stern, you're a beauty. Love you, Harry. Quick timeout. Yes, 720 WGN.
Chicago is hosting the ultimate month-long food festival this August. Visit ctfoodball.com to get your seat at the table.
And did you hear back on May 18th, MyPillow broke the world record for the world's largest pillow fight. Thousands of people participated in this epic pillow fight. Unbelievable. And to celebrate their 2018 record-breaking pillow fight, MyPillow is offering their signature standard MyPillow, the same one that was used to break a world record, at the lowest price that's ever been offered. The standard MyPillow comes in a convenient carrying case. It's fully machine washable and dryable and comes with a 10-year warranty. 10 years, folks, that is a lot. And these MyPillow standard pillows are limited in quantity. So jump on this offer before they run out. Go to MyPillow.com and click on the World Record Special and enter that promo code WGN. And there you'll get a standard MyPillow for the lowest price that's ever been offered. Or call 800-299-9579. That's MyPillow.com, promo code WGN. Or call 800-299-9579. Use that promo code WGN for a standard MyPillow for the lowest price that's ever been offered. Hurry, the offer ends soon. So I was at the United Center last night, Harry, for the big three.
Mm-hmm. Michael and Scotty and Rodman?
Yeah, no, they weren't there. This is the Ice Cube League.
Oh, yeah. We talked to White Mamba last year about it.
We did? Oh, yeah, we had Brian Scalabrine on. That's right. He was there last night, but I saw Scal. And I saw Carlos Boozer.
Oh, God.
And I saw Drew Gooden, a former Bull.
Nate Robinson?
I saw Nate Robinson. He had a game winner in one of the games last night, or the final points.
I bet he got a huge round of applause.
I didn't stay for that game, so I don't really know, but I was there when Carlos Boozer was on the court, and he was wide open for a dunk, and he missed it, and the place booed him like he was an actual Bull again.
He put the boo in Boozer.
I mean, they ripped Boozer. I'm like, this is, it's...
Do you remember why?
Boozer got booed because they wanted to get LeBron James and that level of free agent, and they ended up with Boozer, and Bulls fans were never happy about it.
Well, because he didn't play defense, and then when they lost the playoff game they should have won, when, the center we just got back and then just released.
Omer Asik?
Yeah, missed the free throws. Boozer said, well, you know, we had a great year, regular season. That's all that matters, yo.
Well, he's got a podcast now, him and Nate Robinson. They're working hard.
Yeah, I don't want to listen, yo.
Well, he's, you know, the newest Bull, Wendell Carter, is being compared to Carlos Boozer in some...
Yeah, I heard that on draft night.
But so,
You talked to some of these guys.
Yeah, I did. And so after Boozer's team lost to Steven Jackson, Meta World Peace, a.k.a. Ron Artest, and Charles Oakley was coaching, those three were at the podium. And I asked Steven Jackson, I asked basically all three of them, I said, have any of you reached out to Michael? Let's get a little MJ in the big three. Because you know somewhere within MJ... he's got to feel like he can compete, right?
Right.
And Steven Jackson looked at me like I was nuts and said MJ would get cooked. Cooked! What's he, 55? He'd get cooked. And I find that rude, inconsiderate, flat out wrong.
Sacrilegious is what that is.
Sacrilegious. And I'm a huge fan of Steven Jackson. His story is very is an amazing one.
Yep.
But here, let's take a quick time out.
He was a pacer.
He was in the Malice in the Palace. He was in the crowd with when Ron Artest. He was defending his guy. I mean, he's had an enormous transformation in his life. But all right, let's get you ready for White Sox baseball next, 720 WGN.